Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I am Dory Shafrir.
And no, we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums. Serums.
Let's get cozy and juicy tonight.
Kate, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. Whoa. You sounded like a teen.
Yeah, well, your voice just cracked.
That was strange. I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm great. We'll dig in more.
Okay, I can't wait.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? No, today I'm hungover.
Oh.
And I've realized I don't take to alcohol much anymore. I don't drink it that much anymore. And then when I do, it doesn't sit well inside of me.
What did you drink?
I had a martini.
Oh.
But it was a very generous pour that turned into a two martini pour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had sips of my husband's Manhattan, and then I drank a Sambuca.
You know, I realize that I can't really drink hard liquor anymore.
Maybe that's, but wine makes me feel sick too.
Really?
Yeah. And then it throws off the whole day. You know, like my sleep was terrible. I'm not focused. My eating has been crazy. You know, I've had today is a huge breakfast burrito and then at around 4 o'clock, I ate animal crackers with peanut butter on top. You know, that old classic snack, a timeless favorite. And I enjoy having a cocktail or having a glass of wine, but I realize like it doesn't really, offer much.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I don't drink that much anymore either.
I don't either. And, you know, I went to a small college and then I lived in New York for 10 years and drinking was a huge part of both of those experiences for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And it's not a great thing, but, so anyway, I'm a little gurgly.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you sound great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I get it. I get it.
We this is our second week with a voicemail.
Yes.
Please call us.
Please call us.
I don't want to sound desperate, but we're just dying to hear from you.
Yeah. It's 781-591-0390. And we are actually recording this before the episode where we talked about the voicemail for the first time has aired. So we haven't gotten any voicemails yet.
Which is maybe why I'm feeling so sad.
Yeah. So I understand, but can you all just make Kate not feel sad and leave us some voicemails?
That sounds so pathetic.
Please.
Call me.
Kind of awkward.
Sorry,
no,
I'm
seriously,
so
please leave us voicemails, but shout out to everyone who has already reached out, emailed, listened, Instagrammed. We love hearing
joined
from you guys.
Joined
our Facebook group. It's really great. And we love to know what you guys want to hear about on the show. We use your contact to put the show together. So
yes, it's very helpful.
It's really helpful.
So thank you for that.
And also, we aired our first mini episode this week. So we'd love to hear what you guys thought about that and what you guys would like to hear on the mini episode. So you know how to find us. It's forever35podcast@gmail.com or call us at 781-591-0390. We also have a monthly newsletter. We have so many ways that to just like get out there.
You know, you quit your job, but you are going to be very busy.
Oh, I sure am, because we have a monthly newsletter. The first issue already went out. So if you didn't get it, sorry, but you missed the giveaway and you missed the exclusive newsletter discounts. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but get on it. So you can find it on our website, which is forever35podcast.com.
Yeah, and you'll want to sign up now so you don't miss next month's issue, because there's going to be some more good stuff that I can't talk about yet.
But we're going to hold it over your heads.
Oh, yeah.
That's not very nice. Call us and yell at us about that.
Speaking of our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And don't forget, the code word is serums. That's how we know that you are real podcast listeners.
But you know what? My favorite part is that people are putting in other things.
Oh, my God. They're
and
so good.
The other things are really fun.
They're so funny. Someone said,
the question is, what do
Kate and Dory love to talk about? And someone said, like staying in New York while all their friends move to the suburbs.
Someone said leaving their husbands, which we haven't done and don't plan on doing.
I think they said leaving their husbands at age 35.
Oh, right.
Yeah. A lot of people say that we like to talk about life, which is not wrong.
My personal favorite was someone just said, Kate.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right.
It's
I am.
True.
I love to talk about myself. And also someone said, no.
Yeah, someone actually responded, I don't want to be in this group.
Oh, that's what they put in as the answer?
Yeah, I think they were like, oh, I made a grave mistake here.
You know, missing out.
Anyway, we would love to have you in the group. We also have offshoot groups now, one for swapping products, one for mental health, and there's also a Forever 35 book group that is reading The Wedding Date.
Yes.
And also, if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would be so grateful. And tell a friend. And if you like us also, you know, mention us on social media. We won't turn that down.
No. And talk to us on Instagram. I my little life update today is about something I posted on our Instagram stories.
Yay.
And numerous people said, what's the link? And I'm going to share it on our website for this episode, in this episode guide. But I bought a product organizer off of Amazon.
It looked amazing.
It transformed my entire bathroom.
I might need one.
And I actually found out about it in our Facebook group. So that should motivate you to join. There's tons of awesome tips in our Facebook group. And I purchased this Eloki, E-L-O-K-I.
Mm.
It's a spinning makeup organizer. And it was very, it took 2 seconds to put it together. I had like an overflowing volcano of product kind of just heaped on my kitchen, in my bathroom. Wait, in my bathroom? Kitchen in my bathroom. Guys, like I said, I'm hungover a little bit. My sink in my bathroom. And the thing is tiny and I fit a ton of stuff on it. It's kind of actually amazing. Like there was a moment where it's like, I don't have enough stuff to put on this thing.
Wow.
But it's great. And it spins around so you can just kind of twirl it, find your thing, put it back. I love it. It really has helped me get organized. And then doing that then motivated me to then organize and throw out the rest of all the products kind of spilling out
love
of
that.
My bathroom shelves.
Oh, that's the best feeling.
It felt so good. The stuff I was collecting was like years old product.
So you got this product thing and it's changed your life.
I think what happens is when you organize one small piece of things, it immediately makes you want to then organize everything else. It felt like I did the little, I cleaned up the sink area of things and tossed some stuff. And then I just like turned, we have this shelf unit that is over our toilet in our bathroom. And that's where just like my mounds of makeup and perfume and samples and just things I kind of hoard are. And I was like, you know what? I've wanted to tackle this for so long. I'm going to do it. And the most annoying thing, I don't know if you're this way, but I'll obsess about this task I have to do. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Then I do it. It takes 20 minutes.
Yes.
And it's like, why did I put this off for 2 years?
Kate, I totally feel you on that because I do that all the time.
I also, and this is not what you're supposed to do, but I keep and use makeup for years.
Yeah.
I have a powder, like a face powder that I've had. It's over 5 years old. I still use it.
Oh, I have this like disgusting blush that like, only the sides are left. It's gross. Like, why am I keeping
it? Because there's still a little bit left. It's like the toothpaste container.
I know. It's disgusting. But that sounds really satisfying.
It was. I even washed out all the containers.
I did something similar today, actually. I bought a shredder.
Oh, that's a satisfying activity to shred papers.
It is real satisfying because I think I talked about this last week. My office is kind of not great.
You have a home office.
I have a home office.
And you posted pictures of it on our Instagram stories.
Yes. Or I think I posted on my Instagram.
Either way.
Yeah.
What you seemed to be stressed about was a lot of clutter, a lot of piles.
Yes.
Tons of paper everywhere.
Tons of paper everywhere.
Did you start using the shredder today?
I started using the shredder. I shredded some stuff. My friend Amanda is coming over on Thursday and she said, and I quote, "Can I come over and get high and organize your office?" She's younger. But I said, great.
Yeah.
That sounds great, Amanda. So she's going to do that. We're going to organize my office together. I don't think we're going to do the whole thing because there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
But if we can just like make a dent, I think that will be really satisfying.
Well, also now that you are full-time working from home as a writer.
Yes.
Having your own space, having a clean, clear space to work in is really helpful.
That's the thing. I feel like I can't really do the work I want to do without having a space that feels clean and clear and like mine. Right now, it just feels like I look at it and I'm like, ugh. That's how I feel.
It's the worst feeling. It's so hard to get anything done.
I mean, I just
even if you were in an office like my old job where when I worked for VH1, my desk when it was cluttered, I like couldn't function.
Yeah.
And I would not be very productive.
Well, you know, I worked at Rolling Stone for like a year and a half. And Jan Wenner who's the owner of Rolling Stone, is notoriously obsessive about cleanliness. And he didn't spend the whole year in the office. He spent months like at one of his many homes in
life.
Sun Valley.
Good for him.
But we would get emails saying that he was going to be in the office and we needed to make sure that our workspaces were clean. and they would bring in like bins for people to throw out papers wow. and other stuff. And yeah, and he would like walk around, and if you had stuff on your desk, you would hear about it. Like he would tell your boss. He didn't like to see CDs out on the desk. We were a music magazine. I mean, yeah, but it did like force you to keep a clean desk.
I think also one thing I'm observing as a parent is that like I'm not an inherently neat person. I'm a messy person. Yeah. And both my daughters are not neat. And you have to teach children, like it's not just, we assume it's just something like you can do, like go clean up your room.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think we have to teach either our younger people or as an adult have to learn how to do. Like I definitely am trying to teach myself how to be organized and be neat. Cause it's not, for a lot of people, it's not an inherent like talent. It's a real struggle.
Yes.
And I can see it, especially in one of my children. She's just like a collector and mm-hmm. her room is just like filled with stuff. And I'll be like, go pick up your toys. And then I'm like, she doesn't know. I've never taught her. Like,
yeah.
And like, you have to teach by example. Yes. Which I'm also terrible at, but, I'm trying to be sensitive to the fact that like, I never felt my parents were like neat people, but I wasn't. And I don't know. Maybe it's something we have to teach our children, not to blame my parents.
Well, no, I feel like the thing I struggle with is coming up with systems.
Yes.
And I would like to come up with an office system. Like I haven't really successfully come up with that many systems. I'm not that good at that. And my husband is very disorganized and cluttered. Like he thinks I'm the organized one. And I'm like, I'm only organized like relative to you.
Yeah.
But I'm not that organized and my natural state is cluttered and I have to really work at it.
It's also upsetting. Like I've really struggled with self-esteem in this area. Mm. I think a little bit like you don't feel good about yourself.
No.
When you aren't able to just organize and be like, it's not even being clean. It's being neat or tidy.
Yeah. I have the same,
clean.
I have the same anxiety when I look at really pretty bullet journals.
Oh, forget it.
Like I just don't have that brain.
I don't have it either.
And I just can't. And so when I see these like beautiful, like when I put on Instagram, my office, a few people sent me like Instagrams of people who do like pretty organizing things. And I looked at them and I was like, okay, but like, and then I like went to the Container Store website and I was like, ah, yeah. and I just like, I don't know. It just felt very overwhelming. And I was like, I'm never going to have a labeled container of like tape.
Yes. Yeah. You have to work within who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
exactly.
And I will say like the people who make those beautiful bullet journals, I think that's relaxing for them.
No, totally. It is.
Yeah.
And it's not relaxing for me.
No,
it's anxiety.
A panic attack.
But you know what is relaxing for me, which I figured out is having, just a shitty notepad and scrawling to-do lists at night before I go to bed on this notepad.
That's really smart. I need to try something like
and
that.
And that kind of calms me down, like just seeing what I have to do the next day. Even if I don't ever really like consult the list, mm-hmm. there's something about just the act of making the list. But it's like literally like, it's not pretty, but it's
getting
calming.
It out of your head.
Yes.
Is the most important thing.
Exactly. So we're going to pause now for a word from our sponsor.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. So, Kate.
Yes.
You wanted to talk about meal planning.
I did. This was a topic that I saw mentioned in the trusty old Forever 35 Facebook group.
Love that group.
I love it. And it resonated with me because this has been a years-long struggle, challenge.
Yeah.
It's been really hard for me. I don't like cooking.
Yeah.
I'm not a confident cook. I'm not good at following recipes. Mm-hmm. And when people laugh at that, it's...
People laugh at that?
Well, people are like, how hard is it to follow a recipe? Which I understand, but the way my brain is set up, it's very hard for me to follow directions in a linear, that's the right word I'm looking for. I bounce around. This has been a struggle I've had since my childhood, like following directions on a test.
So
recipes are very hard for me.
Okay.
To just sit and follow step by step.
Right.
I screw them up constantly in ways that seem impossible, which is okay. It's just, you know what?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Could be way bigger problems in my life than not being able to follow a recipe well. And I have two children,
yeah,
and a partner and myself, yeah. And we all have to eat. And I didn't want to fall into the habit of like making each kid their own separate meal. And it's so much work.
It's so much work,
you know, and like you're struggling with getting home late after work or whatever. And then trying to get all this done before your kids start getting too tired to even function. Like it's a very small window of when you can cook. And I certainly do try to like meal prep, but that's honestly, it's tedious.
It's really tedious.
There's other shit I'd rather be doing than like chopping a week's worth of peppers. Do you know what I mean? It's just so hard.
I do. It's interesting. Like I do think that, you know, like Jane, when we had Jane on, she was saying she finds the prepping, the juicing thing to be very therapeutic. And I do think that there are people who find that process therapeutic.
Yes. I wish I was one of them.
But if you're not one of them, you're not one of them.
No, it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
It never will be. And so I've had to kind of figure out how I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
And I've tried, meal box subscriptions.
Yep.
I've tried one called One Potato, which is a family one. And then I tried one called Sun Basket, which I was just doing for Anthony and I.
They also have family meals.
They do. But I'll tell you what, the family meals are still too intense for my kids. And my kids are not, it's not that they're picky. It's that their palate is just not there yet.
Yeah.
And I know there are children in the world who like love eating, you know, some raw albacore and like kale, but
that's just not your kids, and that's fine.
And so I've had to kind of, and also like one kid, my youngest, loves cherry tomatoes. The older one hates tomatoes, but then the youngest hates tomato sauce. The oldest loves tomato sauce.
God.
So do you see what I mean?
Yes.
It's like a trap.
Right. And they're not doing this deliberately, but
they're
like,
just people.
Yeah.
They can't help it, you know, so it's like trying to find something that everybody's going to eat that's remotely healthy is a journey.
Oh.
And then prepping ahead, because I kind of tend to panic, if I know what I'm making each week, it really helps me.
Yeah.
One, it helps me grocery shop and not spend a lot of money.
Right.
Because I am the person who'd like go to the grocery store, buy $100 worth of groceries, and then it all just like sits there or goes bad.
Right.
You ever have those weeks?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been working on meal planning, like picking recipes and writing it all out for a long time. But in the past, like let's say 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, it's gotten a little easier. Like I feel like I'm starting to get into the rhythm, understand what my family will and won't eat.
Yeah.
And understand that like me, Kate, needs the simplest recipes. And that like right now it's literally going to be like a slab of fish, a steamed vegetable, some rice, and then a sauce, whether it's from a jar or that I quickly make. It has to be as like basic as possible because I have kids who don't want intense flavor and sauces. Me and my husband are still trying to eat well.
Yeah.
And I need it to be quick.
By well, you mean healthy.
By well, I mean healthy. Like I can't be making, you know, Whole 30 meals for us. And I mean, we don't follow Whole 30 either,
too much.
But you know what I mean? It has to like, I'm going to be eating spaghetti.
Totally.
I also have no food allergies. I have no restrictions. So, Dory,
yes,
this month I have every Sunday planned my week of meals.
Amazing.
And I have kind of learned throughout the month, like I started the first month of February with a more ambitious week of meals. By ambitious, I mean one was called crispy pork chops with sriracha Brussels sprouts.
Oh, that sounds ambitious. And at least flavor profile wise, that sounds ambitious.
The Brussels sprouts were very easy to make. I'm going to try to either link to all these recipes or I have a Google Doc that I can just share with podcast.
Yeah, you could set it to view only and we could put it on the website.
Great. And it's not, perfectly formatted, and you'll see one week I put a little area in for feedback and then I only did it for 2 days. So,
All right.
This is a work in progress.
Totally.
But what I've found is I am keeping it super easy. Like Monday, spaghetti night. Tuesday, taco night.
Yep.
Wednesday, a fish night.
Yep.
And then it's just as basic as possible.
And then do you repeat that the next week?
So there's a woman who I'm friendly with who shared her meal plan that she does. Mm-hmm. And she makes, in December of every year, a year-long meal plan.
Holy shit.
It's truly amazing. I've seen it and it's just incredible. And she has a partner and then a small, a toddler. And what this person does is she plans a month of meals and she rotates that seasonally. So it's like a month, I think there, maybe it's, I can't remember exactly, but it's kind of like for 4 months, there's one kind of big rotation of meals, and then it changes in spring, and then it changes in summer, and then it changes in the fall. And I looked at it, I pulled some recipes from it, and there's one actually that I really like, this pasta spaghetti with lots of kale that was in this person's meal plan.
Yum.
But I still found a lot of the recipes, the flavor profile was too intense for my kids.
Mm.
And it was kind of too, it was too much for me. I need to start with my own recipes based on my own family and work from there. But I think ideally my dream is that I have 3 to 4 weeks of recipes and a plan.
Yeah.
And I just rotate that every month. And we just follow that.
It sounds like you're getting there.
I feel like I'm building toward it.
It feels like you had a breakthrough.
I did. I did this first week of meals in February. And I realized from that first week that the things I thought were basic for my kids were not basic enough.
Mm-hmm.
I made this glazed salmon, and this was also a good one, glazed salmon and bok choy sheet pan dinner and white rice.
Yeah. Love a sheet pan,
which was delicious. Mm-hmm. But they won't eat bok choy, so then I was steaming broccoli, et cetera. So I really started to scale it back, and one night a week, we do breakfast for dinner.
Love it.
When we do an egg in the hole and some bacon.
They probably love that.
They love it. I did a turkey burger and then homemade sweet potato fries and then sliced tomatoes. That went well.
And if they don't eat the dinner, it's not like you offer them an alternative.
No. Some nights I'm like, this is it. This is all there is. And other nights I'm like, if this is not working for you, you can go get a string cheese or a carrot. And I try to limit it to a piece of proteinish something,
right,
without sugar and some vegetables.
Right.
And that's it.
You don't get rewarded for not eating.
No. And if you're really hungry, you would eat the thing.
That's what I say about my dog.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
If he's hungry, he's going to eat.
He's going to eat.
Yeah.
This is what I kind of, how I feel. And they don't all, and sometimes if they're like, I don't like this, and I'm like, okay. And then I don't say anything else, I'll notice they just start eating it.
Right. And they're like, all right.
Yeah. So I just am not, it is too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. I think it's good to have other alternative, you don't want them to, if they're really hungry and they've had a really exhausting day, they should be able to eat something. And another thing that has helped them eat more is serving the food family style. So they serve themselves
instead of being plated.
Yes. They will try more things. They'll eat more.
Oh, that's interesting.
They feel really empowered. It was a breakthrough. I mean, I don't know why I didn't figure that out. It's pretty basic to just put a bowl of rice on the table. But with them doing it themselves, they feel so proud of themselves.
That.
It was so sweet. Yeah, it was great. The other thing I've started to let them do too is help me. This is mostly for their own lunches, but they help prepare it. We discovered that my youngest loves these Smart Life vegetarian hot dogs that I buy in bulk at Trader Joe's.
Okay.
So I just chop two of those up, throw those in. An egg, a hard-boiled egg, cheese, Fruit,
okay,
pretzels, goldfish crackers, or whatever cracker you want. That's one of their lunches. The other one, I do a lot of bagel and cream cheese.
Oh. Just
slap it together, yep. Throw it in. Or I do what's called fairy bread, where I take a slab of bread, I put a lot of non-salted butter on it, and then I put sprinkles on it.
Ooh.
Is that healthy? No.
It sounds delicious.
It's delicious. But like, here's what I also figure with lunch. It's like, or with anything, like they're getting healthy choices at other meals. So if at one meal, yeah, my kid is eating bread with sprinkles on it, I know at dinner, like they're having cucumbers. Like,
to me, it's
all balance, yeah, for my family.
Totally.
It doesn't work for everyone's family.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But this is just how I've kind of had to get through. It's a day by day thing. And also making the lunch every day, I do it at night most of the time. Mm. So I'm not struggling, you know, scrambling in the morning, but whatever is fastest for me. Cause it's just another thing.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. And also it's expensive. Having, yeah, feeding children and a whole, as a family, is a lot of,
yeah,
money. Which is why I do go to my number one store, Costco.
Yeah.
Where I buy bulk fruit and we plow through it.
Yeah.
Pounds of fruit. It's nuts. It's nuts the amount of food my family consumes. You know, I'll make like a big vat of overnight oats to kind of get us through a few days a week. Or I'll make hard boil a ton of eggs in the Instant Pot, because that Instant Pot hard boils eggs like nobody's business. So there are little things I do to kind of just make everything easier.
Yeah.
Or like if you do buy three peppers and then slice them right when you get them, it just makes everything so much easier.
But you don't want to spend hours slicing peppers.
I don't, but sometimes it helps. Do you meal plan?
I have tried in the past, mm-hmm, to meal plan. It's my husband has been working late and also has not been around on the weekends. And so he eats at work, because they get lunch no matter what. And then if they work late, they get dinner. So we're not eating together. So I'm basically just like cooking for myself.
Yeah.
So the thing that I've found that works for me is doing meal kits. And I do Sunbasket. And when he was eating with me, I would make the dinner and we would have the dinner together. But now I will eat the dinner by myself and keep the leftovers for lunch the next day.
It's kind of a great way to do it.
Yeah. Which, yeah, is great. And you know, it's a little more expensive than it would be if I were just like buying the food on my own, but the not having to plan and prep those, like go to the grocery store, just saving that time and energy for me is worth it.
Yeah.
And also there's no food waste, which is really important to me. Like I feel like when I was meal planning and prepping on my own, I ended up with a lot of food waste.
Totally. I still have that same problem.
Yeah. So I like that, you know, if I need to use like a teaspoon's worth of minced garlic, I don't end up with half a head of garlic that rots. And now that I'm working from home, I'm starting to think about like what my lunches are going to look like, because I'm not going to have the leftovers every day. Yeah. So I have to think a little bit more about that. And, you know, am I going to get takeout, or, you know, I don't know. I haven't quite figured that out yet.
I did this last week and I really like doing it, which is, and I wish I was more consistent, and I'm going to try to be, as I make a vat of something in my slow cooker and then I just eat that throughout the week. Like I made this white bean chicken chili.
Yeah.
That was really good. And that's just, and then the leftovers, like I made a meatloaf and that was, yeah, lunch one day. But that and the chili kind of just, and then you don't have to think about it.
Totally.
Or be making it. Because when you work from home, it is weird because you're like, well, I'm just at home. I could sit here and make a lunch. But
exactly.
Then that does cut into your
There's a sweet potato and like beef chili recipe in the Whole30 cookbook.
Oh, yeah. You made that.
That I really like.
There's a sweet potato and turkey and black bean chili in a Gwyneth Paltrow cookbook.
Oh.
That is really good also.
I might have to look into that. So I'm kind of figuring it out. I have done, like, BuzzFeed has done these, like, clean eating challenge things.
The BuzzFeed meal plans, they're excellent.
Yeah, they're really good. And we did those a couple times. And that was kind of fun. But, you know, you do have to do all the shopping on your own. And it is expensive.
Yeah.
And so even though when I looked at meal kits initially, I was like, oh, this seems expensive per person for the meals. I think in the end, I end up spending less because I'm not buying extra stuff.
Yeah.
And just not having to plan is, like, big for me.
I've also found, like, whenever I meal plan, what happens is that something inevitably, whoa, I've had a flat white, I've had a coffee.
Woo!
And I don't normally drink coffee, but boy, my mouth is moving. There's always something that changes during the week. So sometimes you'll buy, like, the pound of chicken breasts, and then you're like, oh no, wait, actually I have to stay late on this night, or
totally.
My kids have a thing that I forgot about, and it can kind of throw a wrench in the whole shebang.
Yeah, totally.
And then you have this, like, pound of food in your fridge.
Yes. But we would love to hear from you guys about what has worked well for you and your families.
Let's share recipes.
Let's do this.
And I would say personally, not to be like, give me things, but if you have really easy, delicious recipes that have worked for you, please tell me, because I'm not a confident cook. I need the most basic cookbook in the world.
Do you have Mark Bittman's How to Cook Everything?
I almost bought it at Costco.
Oh, it's great.
I talk about all the time.
I have had this cookbook for almost 20 years.
And you use it?
I still use it. It explains everything really well.
Okay.
It's very basic. I think it's a really good cookbook. Yeah, it's really good. We also, Matt got really into all of the America's Test Kitchen stuff and, like, Cooks Illustrated. And I think those cookbooks are good, but a little complicated, because their things are like, we found the best way to make blah, blah, blah. And it's like 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
And I just found that even though, like, I kind of enjoyed reading about, like, the reasoning behind everything and, like, all their testing. But then when it came time to actually make the food, it was like, this is way too complicated.
I've noticed that too with, like, the Cooks Illustrated.
Yeah.
Because I'll buy it, the magazine, and then I'm like, I'm never going to make a single thing.
Exactly.
Here.
And, like, if I make the second best, you know, fried chicken, but it's like a tenth as complicated, then, like,
right,
I'm on board.
We are very, very excited to have our next guest here with us,
yes,
Jenny Han. And Jenny, I'm just going to read a little bio
that
I mostly stole from your personal website.
Oh,
okay. And added a couple touches.
Okay.
A couple flourishes.
A couple flourishes. Jenny Han is the New York Times best-selling author of Shug, the Summer I Turned Pretty series, co-author of the Burn for Burn series, and most recently, the To All the Boys I've Loved Before trilogy, the first of which it has been adapted into a movie that filmed this summer. I'm very obsessed with this trilogy. That's not part of the bio, just that's my note. And she is a former children's book bookseller and librarian, and she lives in Brooklyn, New York. Jenny, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys for having me.
We're very excited because you have a selection of products on the table, which we will discuss in depth, I hope. But we always start off our interview with guests asking about a routine that they have in their life, which can really be anything, but that's something that brings them a little bit of calm, self-care, nourishment. And do you have anything like that?
I do have something like that. Baking is my self-care, because I think that especially when I'm in the middle of a book deadline, which I always am, it's something that you can start and finish within 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then you have a finished product that looks the way it's supposed to look.
Mm.
And with a book, it can feel like infinite. Like, you don't know when it's over.
Yeah.
Even when you're done, you're like, is it done? And then you still edit and you still, like, do the copy edits, and it just goes on and on. And then with the baking for me, it just feels like I started it, I finished it, and here now I'm like eating it.
Yeah. So satisfying.
it's also kind of meditative. I think it's like the measuring of ingredients, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel such satisfaction when it turns out like perfect.
Yeah.
So I actually included the storyline in one of my books in,
that's right.
Right.
Oh God.
It's an Always and Forever Laura Jean. She is trying to make the perfect chocolate chip cookie.
Yes.
Which I have been on a quest for my whole life.
And have you discovered
and
it?
I have.
Oh, yeah. Is it a recipe that you've created or modified?
Modified, yeah. Because, you know, like ultimately, they're not that different. Chocolate chip cookie recipes, you know, like the perfect one. There's like many different kinds and people have different ideas of perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's like thin, soft in the middle, but crispy around the outside.
What is your secret? I feel like there's a butter situation, right? Like either it's hard butter or melted butter changes the texture.
That's not my secret.
Okay. No, do you have a secret?
I do. I'm willing to share it today.
Thank you, Jenny.
I've been so careful because I have not posted the recipe online because you know what? I worked really damn hard on this thing. You know what I mean? So this is my thing. It's like my like secret recipe that I love. My thing to do is when I get invited to go somewhere, I will bring cookie dough that's already preformed.
Ooh.
And then towards the end of the evening, I'll pop them in the oven. And then we have fresh baked warm chocolate chip cookies.
You are a great guest.
That's so sweet.
It's just a thing, you know, because a warm cookie is just like heaven.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And cookies only take like, what, 12 minutes to bake or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, Dory. Yeah. 12 minutes.
Yes, thank you.
Very nice. But here it is.
I bake my fair share of cookies.
Here is, to me, like the real key thing, which is it is all about the surface of the pan being hot enough. And because I kept feeling like my cookies were coming out too like puffy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like too much height. And I didn't want that. I wanted to be like spread thinner. And so what I realized I've been doing wrong was I've been using a Silpat for years. Mm-hmm. And you feel fancy with a Silpat because it's like expensive.
I don't even know what a Silpat is.
It's like
is.
A silicone sheet that goes over the cookie sheet so the cookies don't stick to the bottom of the pan.
Okay.
But here's the thing. It's not going to be as hot as the pan is, you know, so even just that little bit of difference.
Yep.
Then I started using parchment paper and there you go. It's the spread is because of the heat.
Yeah. It is literally parchment paper is the trick.
I mean, for me,
that's amazing.
But I'm a perfectionist when it comes to the cookie.
I'm a big parchment paper fan.
I don't. Baking brings me anxiety. All sorts of cooking it fills me with the opposite sensation that you guys experience. No, it really does. So I'm always so fascinated by people who find it very soothing. I'm curious, has it always been a relaxing process for you or something that you've turned to when you've been stressed?
It just feels so fulfilling when I see the dough start to form, you know, and you're just like, yeah, that looks the way I want it to look. And actually it's scientifically proven to be a stress reliever. I learned that as I was like doing it over and over again. I saw that people recommend it as a way to like unwind.
Do you have a stand mixer?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
It's pink. It's breast cancer pink.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That is amazing. And I just have one more question, which is there anything else besides the chocolate chip cookie that you feel like you have mastered?
Yeah. The cinnamon roll.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yes. It's a real crowd pleaser. You know, I'm all about that. Like the ooh moment.
The wow factor.
You know? Yeah. What's the point of doing all that work if people don't go, oh my God.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that would
and
be
is
me.
That, is that something that you also will bring in dough form and cook on premises? No. Okay.
No, because like when I make it, the recipe I use, which is not my own, it's Pioneer Woman.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Race. Although I'll Drummond. Say,
yeah. The one thing I learned as I was doing it, people can do this recipe and end up like, having it not come out the way you want it to come out. But the trick to me was really getting that dough tight, you know, so you have to roll it out thin. Otherwise you have big puffs of dough, you know, and then it becomes like a Papa John's situation. You know, you have like Domino's and them have those cinnamon desserts.
Yeah.
Basically, it's their pizza dough
that
they make that just to like have another sweet thing.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking you would be a great contestant on Great British Bake Off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because you've like thought all this stuff through and you know how
like, you know how dough works. You know if you do, you know what I mean? It's like you're an intuitive baker, I think, or you have so much experience now that you kind of know how things interact with each other.
Know it's disappointing because with a cinnamon roll, the best part is the center, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and it's like the gooeyest, like thinnest part.
Yeah.
Right. And so you've got to get the dough thin and you've got to really pack in the butter and the sugar stuff.
I don't even like, I like cinnamon rolls. They're not like the thing I crave, but now when you're describing them, I'm like
hot, fresh.
Yeah. With cinnamon cheese roll? Frosting.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a Cinnabon experience.
Ugh. Not made from a can, which not is how I make cinnamon rolls. Oh, that sounds divine. Yeah, I know what I'm up to later today. It's not going to be homemade.
It's not going to bring you joy, though.
Well, I won't bake it.
You won't make it? Well, the recipe, it also takes a little time because you have to let the dough rise. You know, so it ain't like instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Neither is it with the cookies. That's a mistake people make. You got to let that rest for a good 24 hours.
That is the cookie.
Yeah.
You have to let the actual cookie rest or the dough?
The dough.
Okay.
I'm saying like the flour has to absorb the sugar and the butter.
Oh.
You know, and then it turns color even. It's not going to be pale. It's going to be richer and caramel in color. You can taste the difference.
So you don't just whip up the dough and then pop it in the oven. I didn't know
Hell
that.
No.
You refrigerate Mm-mm. it.
You refrigerate yeah. it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I might become a better baker. I feel like chocolate chip cookies is something anybody can do.
People think they can.
Oh, shit.
No, it's just like, you know, guys are like, I make amazing eggs. It's like, no, you don't. You just like make scrambled eggs. And then it's not amazing. No. You know what I mean? Like, it's very actually difficult to make a perfect scrambled egg.
Yeah, that's true.
That's another thing I have worked very hard on.
Do you like a soft scramble?
I love a soft scramble.
Me too.
I don't want to see brown.
We are like simpatico. No. Yeah.
Do you put butter on the finished product to make it extra soft?
No.
Oh, that's what I do, guys.
That's good. I've done that.
It might be disgusting.
I put butter in the pan.
Yeah. And wait, I need to know your trick to a good scramble. To a soft scramble.
Sure, sure.
It's
an undercook, absolutely. But my other trick is I like to do one extra yolk.
Oh.
Yeah, and it gets super, like,
that's what
rich.
America's Test Kitchen does.
Oh,
they do the extra yolk.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
See, I am intuitive.
You
I
are.
Should be on this show.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
should.
I'm saying.
Do they let Americans on?
No.
Oh.
But
well.
they had an American version that was vastly inferior.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm just saying, Jenny, you do well.
It's funny because my friend Adele, she's a writer too, Adele Griffin. She's like, I don't understand the point of you working this hard on a cookie recipe. Like, what is the point of that? Like, I don't get that about you. And I said, what is the point of doing it if it's not going to be perfect? Like, I don't see a point in it. You know what I mean? Like,
is that how you are with everything? Are you perfectionist in other parts of your life in that way?
No, but like, I think it's tied to, like, if I'm going to be in Rome, why am I going to go to a random place for lunch? Why am I not going to go? If I want ravioli, I need to go to the best ravioli place. Otherwise, why am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that seems like a good segue into skincare, honestly.
Ravioli?
Well, no, wanting the best stuff, wanting the best products. Like, what's the point of doing it if you're not putting the best stuff on your face?
This is the struggle. Because how do you do that in a cost-effective way? This is my journey.
Mm.
I mean, one of my many journeys.
Yeah.
Because the really nice stuff, I mean, costs money. I think this is why people are so obsessed currently with the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's affordable and it's like, is this going to be the thing?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I have to admit something about myself, which is I do, like, I'm my mother's daughter and I do tend to equate like quality with expensive. Mm. Like, she'll be like, these apples were like $5.
And they taste
like,
better.
She's like, do you taste that? Like, this is expensive.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so if there's a cheap version and like an expensive version, I'm always like,
I'm the same way.
Leaning towards
it makes my husband nuts because I like the brand products of like drugstore things.
Yeah.
Like he would get the drugstore Advil and I would get Advil. Do you know what I mean?
It's like brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's am I being tricked by corporations? Maybe, but
I mean, I think there's also something really satisfying. Like, you've obviously reached a level of success in your professional life.
That's so nice.
A very high level of success. And so, no, to be able to afford to buy this stuff for yourself, I think is like very empowering in a way.
It does feel so. It's funny because walking into Sephora and being like, you know what? Yeah, I need some hair mask. I need some lip stuff. It does feel luxurious to me, and I like a feeling of luxurious.
Yeah,
you know, and feel like you're treating yourself to something nice and appreciating it as
totally
something nice.
Totally.
You're traveling here in LA, mm-hmm. And so did you bring? Are these products? I know they're all mostly travel size. Mm-hmm. Are they products that you also use in your real life? Or are you doing that kind of fun thing where you sample products because you're traveling?
I love, you know, new products. It's always about the new thing for me. And so I had just started, I had been kind of led to Gothamista.
The best.
By Kara Brown on Twitter. She was saying, mm-hmm. she watches Gothamista. And I was like, ooh, let me just check out what she says about serums. And then I was sitting there for like 6 hours watching videos and taking notes on all the stuff I needed.
Yep.
You know, and so it was great to then run over to Sephora and get stuff in the travel size so that I can try it out while I'm here.
Love that. That's a good tip too, just mm-hmm. in general.
Yeah, because I don't want to invest, even though, you know, it makes more sense economically to get the bigger size.
Right.
Right. It's a trick.
It's a trick.
But what do you have right there in that drunk elephant?
The drunk, so it's the jelly cleanser.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And the texture is super nice. It is jelly and it doesn't feel drying. So far, I am like, yes on this cleanser. It doesn't, afterwards your skin doesn't feel like super tight,
mm-hmm. which is the problem that you've run into, Dory, with the one I recommended.
Yes, yeah. The COSRX
morning
pH. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And do you use that in the morning, at night, both?
I only do it at night because okay. in the morning, you know, well, I don't really see the need to like,
yeah.
to dry out the skin by cleansing it again.
I am getting on this train, and I've been doing a little reading about it.
Mm.
And they say that unless you have very oily skin, you actually don't really need to wash your face in the morning.
Just a water splash.
You can just splash some water on it, or you know, I'm a morning showerer, so I will just, you know, rinse my face off, but I'm not using as much face wash in the morning. Like
by
I
the
used
way,
to.
I listened to that episode about the shower thing, and uh-huh. I'm a night shower bath.
Uh-huh. I night showered the other night and I liked it. Have you always been a night shower?
I mean, kind of, because I hate waking up early in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's more about my hair. Like I have a lot.
You have luxurious hair.
Yeah.
So if I sleep with it a little bit damp, then when I wake up, it's not like Mufasa huge.
Mm. Is it naturally wavy?
It is naturally wavy, but this is like a blowout.
Okay. It's very dreamy looking.
It's yeah. Mm. Like I would buy a wig with that hair. I was just saying to Kate recently that I think I'm moving towards wigdom. So, you know.
I was talking to the stylist and I had never realized this. Guys, did you know that most people, like on TV and stuff, are wearing like a ton of fake hair?
Yes. Yeah. I was with my friend was an actress on a TV show in her car, and in the back seat was just the extensions that she would pull out after a day of work. And everybody has fake hair on TV.
But I feel like I only learned this since moving to LA.
Of course, yes.
LA, like, the curtain gets pulled back a little bit. I feel like when you live here, you're like, oh, that's how they do it.
Also on red carpets, too. A yeah. ton of it is fake.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, you can never live up to
right.
the dream.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of hair, and it's... Each individual strand is quite thick,
yeah.
too, so it's a lot to manage.
Yeah. So do you blow dry it out at night after you shower?
No.
Is it just a wet dry?
I do it like a rough dry, like just a couple seconds so it's not dripping.
Yeah.
And then I just go to bed.
Nice. Okay, so drunk elephant cleanser, then yes. what happens?
Then I'll do the beauty water by Sun and Park.
Oh yeah.
I've heard people rave about this stuff.
I like it because it's technically like toning, but it's also cleansing and it's also moisturizing.
Mm.
Even though you wouldn't know it by like looking at it. It's mm-hmm. just like water. And it doesn't feel stripped after I use it.
I might need to try that.
Yeah, that sounds it sounds really lovely.
I got
yeah.
it off of SoCo Glam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and then I'll do some sort of like a serum.
Yep.
And like on a morning, I do the CE Ferulic, which is, I think, ooh. This is the best.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
This. Lisa Lucas told me about this.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Uh-huh. Were we in a Twitter conversation about
yes.
skincare? And this is the big takeaway. It is like vitamin C and all this stuff.
Mm.
And it makes even the color of my skin look different.
Wow.
Because
it's brown.
Who makes? Can I look at it?
Yeah.
Skin-ceuticals.
Okay.
The yeah. vitamin C-E Ferulic.
Mm-hmm.
C-E Ferulic.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah,
that
does look
it
good.
It comes with a dropper. Mm-hmm. That means it's official.
Yeah.
My only complaint with it is the smell. It's a little, like, herbaceous.
Okay. A little earthy.
Yeah. Musky. So I like put it on and then I like wash my hands so I don't smell like it all day. But it's been a game changer for my skin.
Wow.
For sure. Wow. For sure.
Okay. So that's a product you will keep buying. Like you'll come back to it
it's
again.
It's expensive. It's like $180 or something.
Yikes.
Wow.
But
right. This is the trap.
Yeah.
But .. It works for you.
It really works.
Yeah.
And then I'll do like a couple different moisturizers, like a light one, and then I'll do like a heavier one. Oh, and one other thing that Rachel on Twitter, you know Rachel. So she was talking about Eve Lom cleanser, which is kind of like and I've been struggling with oil cleansers because I don't like my skin feeling that like
It's greasy.
Greased up.
Yeah.
You know? And this is actually an oil cream cleanser. And then you put it on your hands. And then you put it on your... And then you do sort of this thing of like tapping and like pressing. And it feels very therapeutic as you do it. You have to like do these different pressure points. And then you put the muslin that you soak in hot water and you put it on your face.
Oh, this sounds so nice.
Breathe it in.
This sounds like a spa.
It is. It's nice.
This is when... Oh, it smells like a spa, actually.
Okay.
And then you do cold water and muslin.
Oh, that does smell exactly like a spa.
Yes.
And it melts all the makeup
just
right
got a facial.
The makeup just comes right off.
Also, something about pressing a hot muslin cloth to your face sounds divine.
And you breathe it in.
Totally.
This is why when there's been a recent debate about the benefits of skincare and how it is possibly all a sham, which we're not really on board with. But I do feel like just the simple act of like touching your face, taking that time, the warmth, it's all very grounding and therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's not just about like scrubbing your face to keep it clean.
No, and you press on the sinuses, you can feel like the sort of like drainage, whatever, you know what I mean? Like you can feel like, oh wow, my face feels like tender right here.
Uh-huh.
It's good to do that. It actually reminded me of, I once met this man who did therapy for soldiers who had PTSD.
Oh wow.
And one of the tricks was like doing this tapping thing, and you tap over and over and over again.
I have people who swear by tapping to help their anxiety,
and I was like, whoa, this is weird. But then as I was doing this cleanser, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like a tapping, because it's like over and over again.
And there's like an aromatherapy element to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also sounds like face yoga, which people are getting into now.
Face yoga.
Yeah. We'll talk about that another time.
We should have a whole episode. Yeah. Where do you get Eve Lom? I've never heard of it.
I think I got this just from Sephora.
Oh.
Okay.
Take a little trip after this.
Yeah. And then I'll
You do this all when you get out of the shower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my skin dries really fast.
Yeah.
And then it also like soaks up the moisture really fast. And so if I don't do it right away, then my skin's already like drying.
Got it.
In a bad way.
Okay.
So I have to capture it.
To time it all perfectly right.
I really do. And then I'll do the pawpaw ointment on my lips, because my lips are always so dry in the winter.
Oh. What is it called? Pawpaw?
Yeah. You know the one that models? It's always like in the kit of like a makeup artist.
No.
It's Australian.
I've never heard of this.
To get some of that.
Pawpaw ointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Great.
It's a great primer for the lip.
And then do you have a heavier moisturizer?
Oh, yeah. So I just started this one too, the Drunk Elephant Lala Retro Whipped Cream. And it's still new, but I like it. Right? Mm. It's like a texture like icing, but not sticky.
Oh, that looks lovely.
It's like I'm looking at food.
I'm
hungry for that cream.
The thing I learned off of Gothamista was she had a real focus on taking a few seconds to let the products absorb before you go to the next step. And sometimes I want to like be really luxurious with the routine, and sometimes I'm like trying to like just get it over with, you know. And you've got to let that like go in for a second before you go to the next.
Yeah, you don't want to rush through your products.
You also, the pressing things onto my face is a new thing I'm really trying to, instead of just rubbing it all over, I'm really trying to work on that, slowing myself down.
Oh,
and then the heaviest thing I'll do is the Chica Bear by Dr. Jart.
Oh, Dr. Jart is awesome.
Dr. Jart is great. I was at the Incheon Airport in Korea, and so they have amazing... Have you guys been before?
No.
Okay, you've got to, if you go to Asia ever, always make your connecting stop in Korea, because they have a huge, huge, like, duty-free makeup section.
Oh, that's such a good tip. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, with the more expensive brands, and then with, like, the less expensive brands, but all of it's great.
Whoa.
You know, and so they have a lot of masks that you can't get here, and then they'll be in bulk. Like, for instance, this Dr. Jart Brightening Infusion Hydrogel Mask, I think I got a 10-pack for, like, I don't know, I want to say like $25.
Oh, that's pretty
but then
good.
Sephora will sell them for like $7.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So you could
have a black market in masks.
Just if you want to take a break from writing.
Yeah. Just go fill a suitcase up with masks and from the Incheon airport.
I discovered my new favorite, like, lip brand, which is 3CE Studio.
Ooh.
Do you guys know this brand?
No.
No.
You can get it on stylenanda.com.
Also. Just never heard of that either.
But it's great because you've got like a really moisturizing pencil part of
it. Oh, yeah.
That you fill the whole lip out with, and then the super creamy like lipstick part that goes on top.
Oh.
Pretty. You got this in Korea.
In Korea.
Oh, it looks really great.
Every color.
Oh, you did. You were like, this is
this
the
is
thing.
Great. Yeah, and then they also do great lipsticks.
Oh, pretty.
Oh,
it's like matte without drying.
Yeah.
Are you
that's the holy grail.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a red lipstick person all the time?
I like red that's a little bit orange, a little bit like pink, because sometimes if I do like the true red, I feel like it can be a little bit aging.
Yes,
you know?
I feel that too when I wear true red sometimes. I'm like, oh, I've just aged 10 years.
Interesting.
Like, majorly. Yeah. And also, I have like a lot of lip going on. And so, I don't know. It just feels like a lot.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Now, wait, I have a couple more questions about what's happening here. What is this?
Oh, so my cushion compacts.
Ooh.
That's what I swear by, too.
Cushion compact.
Yes, because all you have to do is, you know, you use a little puff and then you like press it into the product, which is like foundation, basically. And then you go boop, boop, boop. And you're done.
Are you do you SPF beforehand?
Yes.
Okay.
But this also has SPF in it.
Oh. Yeah.
And I've long been devoted to Iope, but Amore Pacific is good if I can't get Iope here in the States.
Amore Pacific is really nice.
Is Iope a Korean brand as well?
Yes. Oh, so is Amore Pacific.
Yes, that I have bought at Sephora, but I've never heard of Iope.
Mm-hmm. Iope is great. And actually, it's interesting because like Iope is not as expensive as Amore Pacific, but I think that the like formula is really good.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny, what are you working on now, book-wise? Or do you not want to talk about that?
I'm like making a scared face. I'm working on a bunch of stuff is the thing. I mean, you know, my last book came out last May, and then it was like rush to do all the promotion stuff and be on the road and do touring. And I did a lot of international touring last year that I wasn't really able to sit down and write.
Yeah.
And then, I went to the McDowell Colony, which is like an artist colony in New Hampshire. And I was there for like a month working on something. And then I ended up starting something else. And so it's been like, I think I need to find that like center to be able to sit down in my regular life, not in a hotel, not, you know, at the colony, but figuring out what the next thing is.
What is a day for you? Like when you are just in your quote unquote regular life, what is a day for you? Like as a writer, how do you kind of find the will to like plop down and put your hands on a keyboard and
go? Lately, I guess I haven't had the will, but I think, I mean, a typical day is like, I wake up around 9:30 and then I'll sit there and watch MSNBC until like noon, you know? And so that's like, not great. That's not a good not a good routine, because then you have like spiking like stress kind of all day long, because you're like, now what's gonna happen, you know, like
your cortisol levels are like going crazy.
And then I'll be trying to go, I often write at the Soho House in New York and or I'll go to a friend's house to write, because it's hard for me to work at home.
I have a question as a YA writer. Do you find that writing about teenage characters, is there like there's something about that that keeps you feeling young in spirit? Or do you feel like you have to constantly kind of re-understand how teenagers are or relearn what they're going through today?
It's interesting because I was just having this conversation with a bunch of YA authors, and we were talking about like feeling like it's hard to keep up in terms of technology, but not even just like literal like apps, but more of how it's the way that we grew up, you know, in the 90s as a teenager. It's very different than now. But to me, I don't find it to be that hard, honestly. Mm. I don't feel... You know, I started writing YA when I was just out of my teens, almost. Like, I started my first book when I was in college. So I was only 20 years old when I did that. And at that point, I was closer to that than I was to being an adult.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm in my mid-30s. And while I don't feel that removed from it, I think it is more like, what do I want to say with this book? And, like, what's this about? And, like, what... You know, like, I write contemporary realistic fiction,
right.
And I think that can be harder than doing the fantasy because you're always in, like, home life situations in school, so there's a lot of the real life stuff happening, and you can't not acknowledge that people use their phones all the time to, like, text.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, but it's a different...
But then there's also this, like, teenagers are still teenagers
thing. But I think I think it's true because it's the same reason I, as a mid-30s age woman, can read YA and connect with everything that's happening in characters that are existing in the now. You know what I mean? It's there's an essence of being a teenager that's kind of timeless.
Yeah, totally.
And miserable. It's really hard being a teenager.
It's really hard.
Oh, boy. We've covered a lot.
We have. Jenny, this was amazing.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
This was so much fun.
In your
so
beautiful fun. Airbnb.
Oh, wait. I do have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have anything on your face right now? Because your cheeks are the perfect shade of cheek.
I forgot. This is like my favorite thing that people may not know about. The Becca Beach Tint.
Mm,
I love it. And it's like I found my perfect my lip color, but like better shade, which is this beach tint. And it's weird because it comes on, you squeeze it out of a little tube, and it's matte though. It's like it goes on. It's not like a glossy.
I've been using the Glossier Cloud Paint.
It's similar. I was gonna say it's similar to a cloud paint, but this color just really works. So I just did two dots. I did dot here on my cheeks.
It's really pretty.
I forgot to bring blush, and then you know.
Looks
so
great.
Wait, that is normally a lip color.
It's a, actually...
Can it be leap and cheek? I can't think
it's,
what I'm saying.
It is cheek and lip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Glossier is not cheek and lip.
But you could put it on your lip. It's, again, the skincare police aren't going to come around.
I don't know. What if I couldn't? Around.
I want you guys to try this before you leave.
Okay.
I have the same color watermelon and like I have like 12 of them and one in each purse because it's perfect when you don't want to wear lipstick.
It's a really pretty color.
Yes, it looks very natural, but you've got like a flush.
Well, see, as a fuller lipped woman, I don't always, you know, I need lipstick, but I don't always want to do the whole like thing of putting lipstick because it's just like a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And then this, it's like you're not wearing lipstick.
No, it's
but
great.
You look not like
really
dead.
Pretty. Well, last I'm really minute glad tip. You asked that question.
I had to. I've been like admiring from afar and I wanted to make sure we got it.
Thank you.
Got it on record.
Jenny, where can people find you?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm on Instagram at Jenny Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Twitter at Jenny Hahn. And that's pretty much, where
and
I'm at.
You have a website?
I have a website called Jenny Hahn.
All right.
.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. This was really great.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yay. I love Jenny.
I mean, I have been a huge fan of her books for so long that I had to contain my fangirling.
Oh, you did.
She's so cool.
She's
and
so great.
Also, her products were so cool.
Her products were amazing. And I want to go to Seoul just to go to the airport.
Yes.
I mean, I want to go to Seoul anyway. But
maybe we could make that.
Yeah.
Just to like kind of put it on a vision board. Yes. To get like a trip, a friend trip?
A friend trip to Seoul.
Anybody? What if we brought, what if anybody who listens to the podcast, again, I've had coffee.
What if we had a meetup in Seoul?
That would be so cool.
That would be very
cool.
Maybe
we even have listeners in Seoul.
We might.
Oh my God.
We could all do sheet masks together.
You know, podcasting makes the world so much smaller. Brings people together. For okay, I gotta calm down.
Okay.
God. Anyway, that went nuts, but she's amazing.
So intentions.
Yeah.
Kate, talk to me about your intentions from last week.
I believe my intention last week was to clean out my car.
Yeah, but this was like, I feel like it's been ongoing.
If you've noticed, a struggle of mine is to clean my clutter.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
And I kind of just push the clutter around. I did clean out my car. But other things are still a mess.
Okay.
So I don't know if I've actually accomplished my intention, but currently my car doesn't look like, you know, I just emptied a trash can in it, which is how it normally looks.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling all okay. Right. That space is peaceful for now.
All right. I think that's all we can ask for. Okay.
Thank you.
What is your intention for next week?
Well, I have a couple.
Okay.
I'm going to keep going with simplifying my meal plans because that's felt so good.
Which, love it.
And I've been following my motto of keep dinner simple, stupid.
Yes.
So I'm going to keep working toward that. And then I've also been kind of purging our bedroom.
Ooh.
Because our bedroom is where I like, whenever I clean out a space, I just then shove it into our bedroom.
Oh yeah. That's like my office.
Yeah. So I'm in the process of kind of going through that and getting it organized.
That sounds great.
So how about you? Tell us about your intention last week and how it went.
So my intention last week was to not make any plans for this week.
And
my
here we
first
are.
Week of unemployment, and to just relax and do nothing.
And we're in this week.
We're in this week. I like mostly succeeded. I say mostly because I did tell, like, I had a bunch of people be like, oh my God, it's your first week. Like, let's have lunch or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not making any plans. Like, let's just do it next week.
And you are taking a social media
yes,
break.
I'm taking a Twitter break.
So good.
I was going to do all of social media and I just realized that actually like Instagram and our Facebook group bring me joy.
Yeah.
As opposed to Twitter, which doesn't really bring me joy. And so I took Twitter off my phone. I haven't looked at Twitter. It's been really nice. It's been so nice.
You're not missing a thing.
I feel like this might become permanent. So that's been good. I did this week on Thursday. I have a bunch of plans just because it ended up that two friends were in town and like Thursday was the only day they could see me and whatever. And so I was like, okay. So Thursday has become sort of like my depository of plans for the week.
Great.
Like I have a bunch of things, but other than that, I've been pretty good. I've watched three episodes of Queer Eye already.
Oh,
so good. Yeah. And I'm just kind of living life. I might go to yoga later, but I don't know. I might not.
It's got to feel nice to kind of relinquish control a little bit, or not yes. even that, but just kind of let the day unfold.
Totally. Yesterday I drove to this place in Culver City called Lodge Bread Company that I've been wanting to try. That was amazing. And I just drove there myself and had lunch and drove home.
Oh,
and it was fine. It was great.
So nice.
It was amazing. Yeah. So that was great.
What have you set for yourself as your intention for this week?
So this week, kind of the opposite.
Oh.
I feel like I want to come up with some sort of structure / schedule for my days. Kind of a general, like, here is how I would like to approach my days of unemployment. Which aren't really days of unemployment because I'm actually like doing things to make money, but like days of not full-time office work.
It's a different way of structuring my day.
And I feel like I need to, there, you know, there are things that I want to accomplish, and I feel like if I don't have a plan, it will all just get frittered away. So I'm going to try and come up with something that's like doable, will make me feel good, but also not make me feel like bad if I don't spend like the hour and a half I've allotted to like whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my intention.
I love it. Thanks. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Thanks. And likewise.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I think that just about does it for this week.
That's it for us.
Yeah. So hit us up on all forms of social media, email, Twitter, Instagram, call us at 781-591-0390. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Yeah, bye. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
And definitely check out our episode next week in which we talk to the amazing, hilarious Danielle Henderson about changing careers, washing her face with sugar,
writing letters every week.
Oh, that is so inspirational.
It's amazing. You're not going to want to miss this one.